From the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now, check-out time is never.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
With Steve Cofield.
Well, I don't need to shave because it don't grow in right here and right here.
Now you're telling me that you were so ingrained with white trash DNA that your facial hair actually grows in on its own, all white trashy like that?
Adam Candy.
I discovered at a very early age that if I talk long enough, I could make anything right or wrong. So either I'm God or truth is relative. And in either case, booyah.
Chrissy Paradis.
This place is crushing my soul.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Sir, one more outburst, I will strangle you with my microphone wire. You understand me?
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, here we go. On this Wednesday, Adam Candy is in. Cofield, Chrissy. I think Candy is Chrissy's favorite. Frankly, at this point, anything fresh day-to-day is nice. And seeing Adam Hill and I every day gets old. And, of course, Big Mac, that just gets old, period. Whether he's in once a week or not. So, we got a lot on the way today. We've got VGK hockey coming up on the road. Chrissy is the party master. Pizza Rock, Green Valley Ranch. We'll tell you all about the prizes, all the goodies, the specials over there for a 7:30 puck drop. Chrissy's going to be out there from 7 to 9 for the Sharks hosting your Vegas Golden Knights. And we're 5 minutes away from getting into Magic Johnson and whatever the hell happened yesterday. But rumor mill is working in college basketball. Reno with the open job. And, hey, there's a standard now at that program. Musselman set them up with three NCAA tournaments in 4 years. If they can hold on to this roster, whoever comes in could have a good team. We threw out the suggestion today on ESPN Las Vegas on Twitter. Who should TJ Otzelberger take from Reno and its roster? Some people got insulted by that. It's funny, about 3 weeks ago when UNLV was without a coach and all these players in the transfer portal, the Reno fans were all about saying, hey, let's just take Shakur Justin. 3 weeks later, it's different, huh? Different. So, Gus Arginal could be in the mix. He's an assistant. Russell Turner could be in the mix at Irvine. But right now, the leader, according to Chris Murray and Nevada Sportsnet, of course, only covers Northern Nevada, says that Steve Alford is the favorite. And the AD is in Southern California speaking to the former UCLA and former New Mexico coach about the head gig with the Pack. Candy?
There's so much I love about this. They're really, like, you could draw the lines on this and make the most ridiculous looking, like, it's always sunny looking conspiracy board with how this goes with Alford. Can you imagine Alford after wearing that gorgeous red jacket on the New Mexico sidelines after getting canned out of UCLA, a job that nobody wanted, a job that Eric Musselman had been tied to at times over the last couple of years because they thought that was maybe the level of job Eric Musselman would want. And now it might be Steve Alford in Reno. I love this. I think it's perfect for them. I really do.
It's perfect for us down here. Alford already is an enemy from his days at New Mexico. He can be a crass guy. Couple of things. First of all, if he gets the job, it's good for the conference. It's good for Reno, especially if they want to top out at like $1 million, $1.1 million. He's in their ballpark. The press conference, if it ever does happen, Steve Alford to Reno, he takes those red jackets, if he's got a bunch of them, light them on fire right there. I know where I'm at! Red, not allowed, out of my wardrobe. And on top of that, for the rivalry with UNLV and Reno, am I crazy in saying, even considering Chris Alt, that Steve Alford would be the most disliked coach from the UNLV side that's ever been at Reno? Because I think that while Musselman was annoying, I don't know that most UNLV fans actually hated him. You kind of watch him and you're like, he's a lunatic, he's intense, he does win. You know, in the back of your mind, you're like, kind of like to have him. But I don't know that he was like truly hated by the base. There will be no debate. No debate!
It
on Steve Alford.
It was not in the back of anyone's mind. That was in the front of the minds at UNLV. We could have had this guy. We could have had him. And I talked to multiple people, especially some folks up in Reno, who suggested to me that at the time that Dave Rice ended up at UNLV and Eric Musselman ended up in Reno, that both schools got the wrong coach. That you could have flipped the two coaches and they could have ended up in what might have been the right place for both of them right from the start. Whatever, that's history at this point. But now you talk about Steve Alford. How hated would he be? Steve Alford, you don't have to worry about him being in Reno. Steve Alford standing in here in his skivvies would be the most hated man in Las Vegas. Nobody likes Steve Alford. Come on. Nobody likes the guy.
He can be abrasive. And he's cocky.
He comes off that way. He just gives it off.
He's ill-tempered at times. He doesn't want to hear this. But he's not full chip off the block, but he's a small chip off the block of Bobby Knight.
Oh, I mean,
he can be cantankerous. Yeah. And Reno's a perfect spot. There is no media up there, and they're very friendly. So, yeah, hell, Albuquerque doesn't have a whole lot of media, but Jeff Grammer and others, Mark Smith, freaking irk the crap out of Alford. Alford will have a beautiful time in Reno. So it's a good spot if he's not going to get an offer from a Power 5, and I don't think he's going to. I guess he was in the mix at Arkansas. I think most Power 5 schools realize now that Alford is not the perfect guy for a job at that level. And here's the thing, he could actually... Sorry for Reno fans. And Coach Otz could be the same thing at UNLV if he succeeds. Alford absolutely could use Reno as a four-year stepping stone to get back to where he wants to get.
Eric Musselman,
or wants to be.
Eric Musselman was applying for jobs a year and a half into Reno. Everyone knew he was gone. They knew he was gone right from the start. He ended up lasting 4 years. He waited for the job to come along to get some $12.5 million. Congratulations to Eric Musselman. It's a stepping stone. The same way that nobody, you said it, nobody wants to hear it here. This job right now, until the UNLV program gets back to the level that it wants to be at, is going to be treated by most big-time coaches as a stepping stone.
Best storyline in the VGK Shark series that gets underway tonight. I think it's the goaltending. I think it's going to say so much about the series. Is it the best? And how does it break down? Because you've got Marty Jones, who struggled all year, regular season, has struggled traditionally against VGK, but is this really math? Is this the real flower?
Didn't look like it the last two games. And we speculated for a couple of weeks that maybe Marc-Andre Fleury really wasn't that hurt, right? Maybe it was just some sympathy pains and he was going to be at home with his wife when she was getting ready to give birth and that he was just getting a chance for some rest. So then he plays two regular season games and gives up 8 goals total, and we have questions as to will Marc-Andre Fleury show up in the playoffs like he has in so many previous years, going for a fourth consecutive appearance in the Stanley Cup Finals. But you look at Martin Jones. Okay. First 36 games in the playoffs for Martin Jones, leading up to the series against the Golden Knights last year. Martin Jones, save percentage, .931. That will rank up above anyone in the playoffs. Against the Golden Knights, .895. And this season for Martin Jones, my goodness, did it fall in the tank. .896 save percentage overall. Sharks were dead last in the NHL in goaltending by any measure. You want to talk about a really bad stat? How about this one? High danger chances. For those of you who love the advanced statistics, and I know you're all out there listening to us right now.
Wait, say it again? What?
Advanced statistics. This is the show.
High danger chances.
High danger chances.
These are cool.
High danger chances. He ranked 52nd in the NHL with a save percentage of .788. 52nd. Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't have to be superhuman Marc-Andre Fleury. He has to be average Marc-Andre Fleury. Because if he's average Marc-Andre Fleury with what the San Jose Sharks have gotten in net this year, the Golden Knights are going to be just fine. Both of these teams stumbled down the stretch. Both of them look terrible coming in. Right now, though, it's a matter of who's going to have something in net. And Marc-Andre Fleury gives the Golden Knights a much better chance of that than Martin Jones does for San Jose.
Boy, so many stories to get into today. But we got to get to Magic. And I don't say it as if I'm unwilling to talk about Magic, but that was bizarre yesterday. And I think it was right after the show, it comes down that Magic gathers a crowd. Impromptu. Says, I'm done. Next thing I see is Stephen A. walking around L.A., palm trees in the background, just going crazy and hyperventilating. Just so fired up.
What's up, everybody? It's Stephen A. I'm in L.A. I don't know what the hell happened. Magic Johnson has quit. I'm going to find out. Does this mean that Luke Walton is staying on as coach? Does this mean LeBron pulled a power move? Is Ty Lue inevitably going to be the next head coach? What the hell is going on? I have no idea. I cannot believe that Magic Johnson quit.
That's... I saw people griping that Stephen A. was going to get a bump from like $6 million to $10 million a year. Mostly jerk-offs in the media. That's worth $10 million right there.
What the hell is going on? I have no idea.
LeBron. Pulling the power play. Give me more Stephen A.
He did tell us that it's something that he would definitely do if it wasn't working out. People complaining, he's got business interests, he don't have time for this nonsense, and it also tells me that maybe he was scared he wasn't going to get anybody else to come to L.A. We are about to find out what the hell is going on. I cannot believe it. I'm in Southern California. The palm trees are behind me. I don't believe this. I can't believe that Magic Johnson walked away this soon.
The palm trees! So... any truth in anything he just said? Was Magic afraid no one else is coming and he's getting out before Armageddon? What do you think?
Do you think Magic cares about that? I don't think Magic cares about that at all. Do you think that another notable free agent getting away would tarnish Magic's legacy as an executive, his deep resume as the president of basketball operations for the Lakers? No. He got LeBron. LeBron's here. LeBron's here for three more years. And if you want to talk about the real coup, it was getting LeBron to sign a four-year contract. LeBron's here. He didn't get Anthony Davis. Okay. He didn't get Anthony Davis. What changes in who Magic Johnson is if another big-name free agent doesn't show up in L.A.? Because Magic Johnson showed you yesterday, he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about what you think is his reputation as an executive. He slammed it down the drain yesterday. Any reputation he had as the man running the Lakers went straight down the drain yesterday. But you know what? Magic Johnson earns the right through his business career, through his playing career, to do whatever the hell he wants. And he just showed you that he can.
But it's not this clean, ladies and gentlemen. If Magic Johnson has walked away, there is something going on. I don't know if LeBron has something to do with it or not, but something ain't right. Something ain't right, and damn it, it's time that we find out.
What a setup. All right, we open the phones early and often here. What happened yesterday? Why did it happen? 364-1100, 364-1100, and you heard the line, something ain't right. You know who's not right? Adam Candy and that take. That was terrible. I'll tell you why, and you tell us what happened yesterday. 364-1100.
Stick around. Cofield and Company returns in minutes in the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So today, I'm going to step down, Mr. President.
I think that I had more fun when I was able to be the big brother and ambassador to everybody.
Something ain't right.
Adam Candy's not right. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. I don't know what he was talking about to open the show. 364-1100, 364-1100. All right, Lakers fans and basketball fans in general. Most people are fans of Magic Johnson. What did you think about what went down yesterday? It seemed petulant and rushed and emotional. What happened? What prompted this? Right now, we're all guessing. I got all options on the table. Is it Magic against Genie? Is it Magic against LeBron? Is it Magic against Adam Silver? Or is it Magic against hard work and negativity? 364-1100, 364-1100. One thing I'm going to get out of the way right off the bat. We've got a lot of lowbrow morons. Well, I'll say this. They're not morons because... they're probably doing the right thing. We've got a lot of folks in the media who like to appeal to lowbrow morons. I know Magic mentioned tweeting. That's not why he's quitting, because he wants to be able to tweet freely. That's a throwaway line, and, you know, media people know that might get you, especially if you're a headline reader, which many of us are. You work hard, you don't have time to read deeply into this whole thing. It's not because he wants to tweet. Why do I think? This is just a guess right now. Like, I don't think it's a LeBron thing. I don't think it's over Luke Walton. Walton may have been the final straw. I don't think it's a problem with Genie. I think he said it. He said it. If you comb through the nonsense of the, you know, I want to tweet, it's, he's getting ripped. He's getting criticized. You know, it's funny. The SO, my girlfriend, is a gigantic Lakers fan, and even she was like, what is he doing? And she loves Magic. She loves him. And I even told her when he got hired, I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think he's a basketball ops guy. This is a little bit dangerous. And she defended him, and she was mad yesterday. She felt, you know, Magic, what are you doing? You're turning your back on us. The way you did this was really immature. And I told her, if you're Magic Johnson and you're getting ripped for your moves and, you know, you're a beloved figure, Magic Johnson hasn't been hated by many since the early 80s. You remember his second and third year, people were annoyed with him, right? Especially out of the market. Some thought he was being a little too big for his britches with the team, a little too cocky. This guy's been beloved for 35 years. And really, what I said to her was, the dude beat HIV. Like, I don't need this crap. Like, I just want to enjoy life. I'm lucky to be alive. And now I got jabronis all over, you know, these talking head radio shows and fans ripping me? Nah, I'm out of here. Now, the way he did it, I thought was ridiculous. He could have had a press conference. He could have done it after the season. Don't leave everyone hanging. My guess is there's a lot more than what I'm saying. There is something behind the scenes. But I think the basic premise is, and the reason I'm firing back on you, Adam, we'll get to the phones here in a second. 364-1100, 364-1100. The reason I'm ripping on you is that you're saying he doesn't care. I really think he does care, and he doesn't want to be bashed. The work is hard. And, you know, he's part of this Laker group, and it's the fans, too, and I think the fans have gotten a wake-up call the last couple years. There's always been this belief that, of course, the Lakers are going to get great players because we've always gotten great players. We're the Lakers. Well, that's not the way it works anymore. They've changed up the cap. You know, the mid-sized markets can pay guys. Not everyone wants to flock to L.A. The organization is kind of looked at as a joke. Even with LeBron there, it seems very dysfunctional. So I think it started to hit home with Magic where he's like, you know what, I'm fighting people on the team. I'm getting, you know, beat down by Silver because I'm just talking basketball. Oh, now I'm tampering. Fans are ripping me. Media's ripping me. Nah, I'm done. I don't want to deal with this.
I think it's just the opposite when you talk about the idea of, does he care about being liked? I think Magic inherently, like any other person in the world, does not want people to dislike him. But I also think Magic Johnson, beyond his playing career, beyond the average athlete, beyond the Hall of Fame, beyond the five NBA titles, Magic Johnson went out and built a business empire, and Magic Johnson built maybe one of the most impressive FU empires in the world. He doesn't have to do anything for the rest of his life, for the life that you just talked about, the life he fought HIV and won. He doesn't have to do anything for the rest of his life. And I don't think Magic cares what you think for that purpose. I think Magic earned the right for himself to say, you know what? I don't need this. I just don't need it. And he said it. I want to go back to enjoying life. Now, how he went about it, yeah, we could have a whole discussion about that. But I don't think Magic Johnson really cares that much about that part of it, about the executive part of it, about the legacy part of it, about the how you think of him part of it. Magic Johnson doesn't have to. Jeannie Buss, after all of this, still put out a statement that said, we thank you, Magic. You'll always be a Laker. Because he's Magic Johnson. She had no choice, classy or not. no matter who she is, because Magic Johnson is who he is to that organization, she had no choice but to take the high road. And Magic knows that, and he can get away with it.
Which is bullcrap.
Probably.
That is bullcrap. And she had to take the high road. Although, you know, if she wanted to, if she wanted to flamethrower yesterday, I think the door was open with a lot of Laker fans. There's a lot of Laker fans pissed off right now with Magic.
For today.
For today. It'll go away. And it's a conditional where you're like, ah. You hear it. Yeah, I love him, but, like, what are you doing? Why are you quitting before the end of the season? What is this? Like, you're making a tumultuous situation worse. Like, they don't need to appear to be dysfunctional, any more dysfunctional than we already know they are. And he just threw barrels of gasoline on the fire. Like, what was the point, Magic?
If one good free agent, Magic or not, signs with the Lakers this summer, this thing will be like it never existed. We won't be talking about it anymore. We won't be caring at all. We care about it because it happened in real time. We got the OJ Chase version of Magic. It happened in prime time, live for everyone to watch, Twitter for an hour going nuts saying, what's he going to do next? We had that to chew on. I don't even care if it's Kemba Walker that comes and plays with LeBron. One good free agent.
Stop.
One good free agent.
Come on.
But the whole thing you just said, free agents aren't coming anymore. LeBron came last year. And if a premium free agent comes this year?
But Adam, if you're going to say they get a free agent, it's got to be one of the big free agents. It's got to be a legit two. Is Kemba Walker a legit two that everyone's going to get fired up about? He's a good player. If they're door prize, he's a door prize. I'm sorry. He's a good player.
He's a door prize.
He is. He's going to
get a max contract.
The seven or eight. Yeah, that's fine. It's a broken league with the max contracts. We're talking one of the seven or eight players who's available. It's now, at this point, now it's KD. It's.
Nope.
But you understand the level that people want. It's KD. It's Kawhi Leonard. It's Kyrie Irving. Hell, it might even. You know what? DeMarcus Cousins is ahead of Kemba Walker. In terms of what Laker fans are going to be pleased with.
Man, I have a hard time. I mean, I'll give you
throwing Klay Thompson.
The first three for sure.
Throwing Anthony Davis. It's not Kemba Walker. Oh, we forget about everything. Because the Magic era, if they don't get a legit two, and if they're not winning 50-plus games next year, part of the Magic era is going to be looking at Julius Randle and looking at D'Angelo Russell and going, what'd you do here? That's your legacy.
They already were. They're doing it now. They're not going to look at someone like...
But your point is that if they win and they've got a number two who is a superstar, people will forget.
Because he's Magic.
But they're not going to forget if they're the sixth seed for the next 3 years and they can't get the legit number two.
And they're going to blame that on Magic?
Yes.
I thought LeBron was supposed to bring everyone with him.
This did not help. The way he's going out is not helping.
I thought LeBron was supposed to be able to overcome all that. I thought he was better than Dan Gilbert. I thought he was better than David Griffin. I thought he could bring everyone with him.
That is part of the problem. And, you know, boy, this is the craziest of part of all of this, is that we may find out down the road that Magic even fell victim to LeBron, the GM. That everything has to be LeBron's way, and Magic was like, I'm not fighting this. I'm tired of fighting this. So LeBron may have taken down Magic, which, boy, he's already been a tough sell to many Lakers fans. If they find out down the road that Magic bolted because LeBron, the GM, wouldn't relent on... I still don't have a clear picture of who wants to keep Luke Walton and who doesn't want to keep Luke Walton, but that narrative, if that's the way it plays out, and you heard it from Stephen A. In the open 10 minutes ago, you know, Stephen A. is like, did LeBron do something? Like, people are just waiting for that. Marty wants in, 364-1100. Marty, what just happened with Magic Johnson?
Well, Magic has run away on a few different projects. This isn't something new for Magic. So, you know, even Magic being, you know, Magic was the head coach. Oh, no, he's no longer the head coach. He owns a piece of the Lakers. Now he doesn't own a piece of the Lakers. You know, the Lakers are notorious for making bad decisions. They kept Kupchak too long. Their draft picks have been terrible lately. Picking Magic as the president of your thing. Now, granted, Magic has made a lot of money, and he's been connected to a lot of very important partnerships, but I don't know if Magic's the smart president of an NBA team. So I think Magic has gotten a lot of credit being Magic, and you think that because you have Magic Johnson, you're going to be able to be successful, but I don't think that's the case. And I don't know if this isn't about LeBron. This is about, let's look at the guys that the Lakers have drafted in the last 3 years and how valuable those guys are. You know, the kid who's playing for the Nets right now is 10 times the player Lonzo Ball will ever be. Lonzo Ball's a bust with the number 2 pick. Ingram's a decent player, but not a great player. I mean, they got rid of Randall, who's a better player than some of the guys they have on their team. They continue to make mistake after mistake. So, you know, to throw it on LeBron as he can't get players, he's been there for 1 year. LeBron is getting older, but he has nobody to play with. The Lakers are terrible and in the West. Had you taken the Laker team with LeBron and put them in the East, they'd be the fourth seed. But, you know, they're in the West. And in the West, if you're not good, you don't make the playoffs.
All right, so, Marty. We appreciate it. So?
So if LeBron wanted to take the Lakers to the East, he probably should have stayed in Cleveland.
Or he should have gone to an East team.
Yeah, or he should have gone back to Miami.
Which was one of those a lot of people in the media warned him about that. The West is a whole different ballgame. And being a middling franchise that, you know, might get to 48 wins is fine as long as you make the dance. In the East, if you can't legitimately get to 45, 46 wins in the West, you're screwed.
I'll tell you what, Marty, the other thing in there, you talk about the young players. Okay, all right, we can talk about Lonzo Ball. We can talk about Brandon Ingram. But look at LeBron in Cleveland. It didn't take long for Andrew Wiggins to find himself in Minnesota and for Kevin Love to come over to Cleveland. And Kevin Love in Cleveland was never Kevin Love from Minnesota. And Andrew Wiggins has become a pretty damn good player in Minnesota. So, again, you can say it doesn't have anything to do with LeBron, but when the LeBron show comes to town, when LeBron and Rich Paul and Clutch show up in town, you know who is in charge and who is not in charge. And you can have Magic, you can have Jeannie Buss, and they are still the people they are with the titles they are and the power they have, but you're not doing anything without talking to LeBron.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company, right here on ESPN Las Vegas.
Kane is in the building.
It's Cofield and Company.
I believe Russell Wilson's camp leaked this story right now because Adam Schefter has reported he informed the Seahawks in January about this deadline.
Yeah.
And I think the January deal happens to coincide with Adam Schefter reported in January Patrick Mahomes next year is going to get $200 million. And I believe Russell Wilson's camp was like, if the market is going to be that next year off a kid who had one season.
One good season.
And I got this.
And? What? Okay, so Russell Wilson's camp leaked it. They should. He's stuck. Okay. Being in Seattle is not stuck, but you are placed in an outpost of the NFL. Seattle just does not get the coverage that many other big markets around the country get. And yeah, Russell Wilson needs to push for himself because if the Seahawks aren't serious about getting him signed long-term, then yeah, he needs to get it to the media because he certainly deserves a mega deal. He carries that team. Sorry, I'm not buying. We've had this argument many times. Adam Candy's in today, so traditionally the argument's been with Big Adam Hill about Russell Wilson being a caretaker quarterback. That is bunk. I've never believed that. He's a top 5 or 7 guy in the league. He's great. He's also great for your market. He's a massive moneymaker for your organization. And I don't know where we are right now. One of the guys at CBS said, hey, they're not close. Tax day is the deadline that Wilson's camp has put out there. We want a deal. We want an extension by tax day. Or all hell is going to break loose. I added the last part. He's right. If he is leaking it, and if Russell Wilson is pushing this nationally, he's right to do it, right?
Why wouldn't he? Why would Russell Wilson not do everything in his power to get the deal that he deserves? And so,
have we hammered other quarterbacks? I mean, crappy ones, maybe mid-level guys, but were we hammering? I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, although right now he's better than Rodgers. Sorry, folks, but we got to see it from Rodgers in these last 4 years if he can stay healthy.
Last year, Russell Wilson, 3,500 yards, 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, passer rating of 110.
And think about this. Think about the weapons that have been around him since beast mode has been gone. Doug Baldwin's a nice, on a good team, Doug Baldwin's a 2. Who are all these weapons that he's had to play with?
The best receiver he's had in that time, you can make an argument, is Golden Tate. And Doug Baldwin's in that discussion. Golden Tate, what, Ricardo Lockett?
No. Golden Tate's a great example.
Yeah.
What has Golden Tate done? He was somewhat effective in Detroit. But Golden Tate kind of is one of those guys where, you look back at certain receivers and you're like, well, that was the quarterback. Like, they move on. Well, it was the previous quarterback, clearly, who made that guy. I'm not saying Golden Tate is crap, but Russell Wilson makes the receivers that he has look good. And he hasn't had great weapons around him. So he's doing all of this with weapons that are sort of mediocre. He deserves the money. Here's the other thing. When you were winning, he wasn't getting paid. That allowed you to win. Now, if the new system in the NFL is where maybe there are certain organizations who are like, we can always find a quarterback. We're never going to pay a quarterback, $30 million a year. Okay, but come out and say it, and let's get this thing rolling here. Interesting, the CBS folks, Adam Candy, had a couple of different trade scenarios. And these would be, this is the definition of blockbusters. One, look at the Giants are involved.
Don't make me do this.
And Colin Cowherd actually came out with this probably a month ago. He said, he didn't say the rest of the trade, but he said, watch out. The Giants could be in the mix to get Russell Wilson. Zona would be involved in the trade. Zona would get the 6th, the 17th, and the 37th overall. And the Seahawks would get the number one pick and other picks. The other picks are crap. They got to get more than that. But the Seahawks would get the number one pick and could use the number one pick on Kyler Murray. Trade scenario 2, according to CBS Sports, has the Raiders involved. Boy, I still think there's something happening with Derek Carr. Something's going to happen. Oakland would get Russell Wilson, but this seems a bit lopsided. The Giants pick at 37, and the Giants first rounder in 2020. Seattle would get Oakland's picks. That's all they would get for Russell Wilson, the 4, the 24, and the 27. Giants get Derek Carr. Giants seem to do okay in both of these scenarios.
In both? Oh, no, no.
No, you don't like the car?
Oh, do not give me scenario 2. Because
you don't want Derek Carr?
I have no problem with Derek Carr, but we have to talk about an asset, not a quarterback. We are talking about an asset here, right? We're talking about the fact that we need a quarterback, we being any team. We need a quarterback on a rookie contract because there is not a single more valuable asset in all of professional sports than a good quarterback on a rookie contract. You just said it. Yeah. It allows you to build an entire roster around the most valuable position in sports. Derek Carr at $25 million a year is a serviceable, capable quarterback. I've said that on this air multiple times. He is an average to above average quarterback. I can live with that. Not at $25 million a year. Because I can get mediocre play from Eli Manning for $25 million a year without moving 3 picks, 2 number ones and a number 2. No way. For Russell Wilson, I can live with that, but 2 ones and a 2 is an overpay for any quarterback if you're then going to have to pay him. That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. If you're the Seahawks, just pay the man. Pay the man.
We have Linda Cohn coming up. She is going to fill us in on the NHL playoffs. She'll fill us in on what she thinks about VGK and the Sharks going down tonight at 7:30. Chrissy is going to be live partying with you guys over at Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch. We'll also get Linda's take on the Giants potentially being in the mix to get one of these 2 quarterbacks we just discussed.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I think it's, when you put the 2 teams on the board and look at it, it's going to be a battle. They got a hell of a hockey team over there. They're well coached by Beat. They do a great job. And, we played really well against them. It's been a good series. I mean, this year, I think we split 2-2. So I think it's going to be a great series.
All right, here, our guy, Gallant, getting ready for the Shark Series. Puck drops tonight, 7:30. Chrissy on the road, Pizza Rock, Green Valley Ranch. Get out there, T-shirts, lots of concert movie tickets. We'll go into specifics in a little bit. What is this news I hear? Linda Cohn's on the horn with us from ESPN. Are you in Connecticut, not L.A.?
No, I've been in L.A. since August. Where have you been?
Okay. No, Chrissy was telling me she thought you might be back in Connecticut right now.
No. I don't know where she got that info.
Confusing.
No,
confusing.
No. Don't ever say that again unless they order me back.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to get into the NHL playoffs. We want to get into the series. But first, we were just having a discussion, Linda, about your New York Giants, and we were talking about some of the rumors out there. I know it's frustrating right now, but some rumors out there. Maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel. Rumors that Russell Wilson could be on the block, and one suggestion was a three-way trade. Long story short, the Giants could get Russell Wilson, but they'd have to give up a couple of number one picks and, of course, pay Russell Wilson $30 million a year. Would you want that?
No.
What?
That's too much money.
Okay.
That's too much money. Not the money, but the two picks. You know, Russell Wilson, if the Giants gave up the two number one picks, and I think the Giants can afford to pay Russell Wilson what he wants, that's not the issue. The issue is, yes, he's more mobile than Eli Manning, but he's going to be running for his life. People are going to find out what Eli Manning has had to deal with year after year after year, and why he's so gun-shy now, because he's had no offensive line and no protection and afraid to get hit. So if Russell Wilson wants to run for his life and come here, God bless him, but I hope the Giants don't make that deal. Not to give up two number one picks, but how are they going to get offensive line help for this guy?
Damn, you smacked me down. I wanted Russell Wilson on the Giants. Well, it's probably because I'm a Jets fan, so I was kind of rooting against you guys.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's get into this series, and then I want your picks for some of the big series in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. First of all, how can the Sharks win this series? I mean, they had a winning season, but, man, their defense all year, backed by Martin Jones, who was not good, their defense was just not very strong this year.
Well, you know, the one reason why there are actually two reasons. The two reasons why I picked Vegas to win in six is because of the goaltending, because we all know who has the better goaltender. It's Marc-Andre Fleury. I never worry about the Flower, ever. I worry about Martin Jones. The only way the Sharks are going to win is if Martin Jones really steps up his game. Can he turn on the switch? If he does, he can at least be almost as good as Marc-Andre Fleury, but still, Vegas has the edge in goaltending. As for the other guys, if Erik Karlsson plays like he did when he was with Ottawa, and Ottawa to Pittsburgh to double overtime in a game 7 before losing in the conference final, then that's another reason why the Sharks can beat Vegas. But if those two things don't happen, I don't expect them to just turn it on. I know Vegas also didn't finish the season as strong as they'd like, but I still think they finished better in a big picture than San Jose did going into the home stretch. And I don't think you can ignore that.
Talking to ESPN's Linda Cohn, the NHL playoffs getting underway, Golden Knights and Sharks this evening. Linda, you talk about the fact that both of these teams struggled a bit down the stretch, and you talk about not being worried about Marc-Andre Fleury. And I think on an average night, I agree with you completely, but there is an injury concern lingering with Marc-Andre Fleury. So to that end, these are two great offenses now that the Golden Knights have the second line as strong as it is. Can the Golden Knights outscore the Sharks if they need to, if Marc-Andre Fleury isn't himself?
Then I'm concerned.
Oh.
If Marc-Andre Fleury, because that's the only reason why I put the edge on Vegas, if this injury, alleged injury, is more serious than we want, than we think, then sadly it might be a quick series, because there's more forward depth on San Jose, and obviously on the back line, there's more guys that can put the puck in the net. And on their power play, we all know how lethal the Sharks' power play can be when clicking. And it concerns me. And also, with all due respect to Malcolm Subban, or whoever you put behind Marc-Andre Fleury, it's light years away from the skill level that the Flower brings when healthy. So I really hope what you're saying is not worth, than believed to be, because then the Knights are in trouble.
I think there are a lot of people here in Las Vegas that agree with that assessment, especially with the Golden Knights losing 7 of 8 coming in. We'll get back to Golden Knights and Sharks, because we're going to spend a lot of time here on the show with that series today. I'm interested on your opinion in the East, because it's been Tampa Bay's party all year long. We know we have a very, very talented Toronto team. The Islanders are back in it here. We know that you have the Washington Capitals, who everyone just seems to kind of be leaving in the background. Is this Tampa Bay's to lose in the East, or do you think that there is one or two or maybe even three serious challengers out there?
If they do not win the Stanley Cup, I'm not talking about just going to the Cup Final. If Tampa does not win the Stanley Cup, the season is a bust. It
wow.
is a failure. I'm sorry. President's trophies, you know, great. Congrats, Nikita Kucherov, for your accomplishments. Amazing season, Steven Stamkos. But this team has what it takes now, I believe. I picked them to win it all. I picked them to go to the final. I picked them to win it all. I don't think they're going to screw this up. I do think that they're going to get a scare along the way. Remember, Tampa, you know, is yesterday's Washington, right? Because Washington was in President's trophies, and they couldn't get out of the first or second round, especially because the Pittsburgh Penguins would get in their way. And then they almost had a scare with Columbus last year in the first round. And that's what I think Tampa may not come with Columbus, even though they do face them in the first round. But along the way, there's going to be a serious scare where they're going to have to see, you know, just what they're made of mentally. We know what they have, skill level. But I think they're going to pass that test. So, yes, I mean, everyone's kind of poo-pooing Washington. I think their biggest test among those teams, you forgot Boston. But, I think Toronto is going to, believe it or not, find a way to beat Boston in seven. I don't know. I'm just thinking they have better goaltending. But I think that the one team that could scare them will be the Washington Capitals, just because how deep they are in the experience and being, you know, the reigning champs. But you guys know this for a fact. The thing that always worries me is about the marathon postseason, right, the year before, all those games played. You know, Vegas played a million games getting to a final. Washington played a million games winning a Stanley Cup. So you have to worry, especially if the older group, the part of the older squad, whether they can handle that pounding that it takes. And we all know how it improves and how the game is different in the postseason. So I still think Washington will be their biggest scare, but I expect Tampa to end up in the final. And once they get to the final, I think there'll be no doubt they'll win the cup.
That's Linda Cohen with us from ESPN. So you gave us a couple of picks already on close series on the odds board, which by the way, I don't even, do you discuss odds on In the Crease, or you kind of stay away from it?
Oh, I know we should, but in the crease we don't. SportsCenter's been more active in that, you know, when they do talk about hockey. But, you know, we might throw in something like that. You know, it just depends. We focus on what's great about, and I have to pump up my own show, but what's great about In the Crease on ESPN Plus is the fact that, you know, when everyone's complaining to me, oh, Linda, there's no highlights on SportsCenter. Oh, Linda, it's a 30-second highlight. Oh, Linda, yeah. I'm like, first of all, A, it's not my decision.
You're the boss. Come on, Linda. Change it.
You know, yeah. But, you know, the other thing is, In the Crease is where you got to go. I mean, long, extent, like Super Bowl length highlights for every game, and the West Coast doesn't get, you know, the short change, because usually, although it ended late, all these, you know, blah, blah, blah. No. I just got off a phone meeting for tonight's show, and we're like, you know, when the show, the Golden Knights go into triple overtime, you know, and we're going to go all out and, you know, not shortchange any highlights. So that's what you get from In the Crease, so.
Okay, I'm going to get a couple of picks from you, because you already gave a couple of picks. So you have the Knights, which by the odds are 115 to win that series. You have the Leafs, a slight dog at plus 120. The other close series, who do you have between the Predators and the Stars? The Predators are a favorite. Who do you have?
I like Nashville.
Okay.
I really do. I came very close to picking them to go to the final, but I picked Calgary to go to the final. Very predictable out of me. But, I like Nashville over the Stars. I like, you know, I just think the experience, and they find a way, and their defense is just tremendous. And, you know, I expect them to get goaltending.
The Blues and the Jets, by the numbers, are really close. The Blues are a slight favorite over the Jets. Who do you like?
Yeah, I love the Blues.
Really?
I love the way they're going into the postseason. I love the confidence that they have. I love their leadership group. I don't like Winnipeg at all. What a different team than a year ago. I don't know if they can turn on the switch. They're going to have to. And, you know what? I just like the Blues in this one. It might go seven, but I think I picked them in six.
What do you think happened to the Jets?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, I think they had some injuries. Not everybody's got injuries. Vegas knows about that. You know, they lost Bufflin for a time. I don't know. Connor Hellebuyck, I don't feel, is playing as well as he could be playing. I think that's a big thing. He was so lights out a year ago in their run. But, you know, they just don't look the same. They don't look as deep. They don't look as good. And I love a hot team. St. Louis is red hot. And if Jordan Binnington doesn't get enthralled with the moment, with the stage, I think they can upset Winnipeg. And I think it still will be an upset.
Talking to Linda Cohn, one more question, and I'm going to be honest, it's a bit of a homer question for me as a big, big New Jersey Devils fan. It's an exciting time. Oh, thank you. It has not been an exciting year, but it is an exciting moment right now. Are the Devils crazy to consider anyone other than Jack Hughes?
Yes.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Kill them if they pass. I mean, listen, the next two guys in line, I'm going to learn how to pronounce their names. Solid selection. Solid prospects that probably can enter a lineup right away next year from the NHL. But Jack Hughes is a no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer. My goodness, I can't believe the New York Metropolitan area has the top two picks in the NHL draft. And then number three is Chicago, which is also, again, they're going to get a talented player. So congratulations on Jack Hughes. If they pass him by, that will go back to bite them and haunt them.
I thought so too.
Linda, we appreciate it. We are thrilled that they're not making you ever go back to Connecticut. That's a life achievement.
Oh, I will give you breaking news. Hopefully this changes, but they are sending me back to Connecticut for the conference final so I could be side by side with Barry Melrose.
Okay,
I don't know what to do with my dog Babs. Yeah. It's really making me tense about it, you know, because I'll be gone for whatever it is, 15, 14 days, whatever conference finals last. So that's going to be irritating. But other than that, no permanent relocation.
And next contract, Bryce Harper, like $330 million, and you never have to go back to Connecticut, all right?
Yeah,
I'll be your agent.
We'll work that out. You can be my agent.
Linda, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks. Have fun tonight.
There you go. Elko. And fun tonight is going to be over at Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch. Chrissy is on the scene as the puck drops at 7:30. Big party, Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch for the Sharks and your Knights.
Coming up next, legal analyst Justin Watkins joins Steve and Adam in studio to break down the biggest legal stories in the world of sports.